William Morrow and Harper Audio present A River Enchanted, a novel by Rebecca Ross, performed by Ruth Urquhart. Part 1. A Song for Water.
Chapter 1.
It was safest to cross the ocean at night, when the moon and stars shone on the water. At least that's what Jack had been raised to believe. He wasn't sure if those old convictions still held true these days. It was midnight, and he had just arrived at Woe, a fishing village on the northern coast of the mainland. Jack thought the name was fitting as he covered his nose. The place reeked of herring. Iron yard gates were tinged with rust, and the houses sat crooked on stilts, every shutter bolted against the relentless howl of the wind. Even the tavern was closed, its fire banked, its ale casks long since corked. The only movement came from the stray cats lapping up the milk left for them on door stoops, from the bobbing dance of cogs and rowboats in the quay. This place was dark and quiet with dreams. 10 years ago, he had made his first and only ocean crossing, from the isle to the mainland, a passage that took 2 hours if the wind was favourable. He had arrived at this very village, borne over the starlit water by an old sailor. The man had been weathered and wary from years of wind and sun, undaunted by the thought of approaching the isle in his rowboat. Jack remembered it well. His first moment stepping onto mainland soil. He had been 11 years old, and his initial impression was that it smelled different here, even in the dead of night, like damp rope, fish and wood smoke, like a rotting storybook. Even the land beneath his boots had felt strange, as if it grew harder and drier the farther south he travelled.
"Where are the voices in the wind?"
he had asked the sailor.
"The folk don't speak here, lad,"
the man had said, shaking his head when he thought Jack wasn't looking. It took a few more weeks before Jack learned that children born and raised on the Isle of Cadence were rumoured to be half wild and strange themselves. Not many came to the mainland as Jack had done. Far fewer stayed as long as he had. Even after 10 years, it was impossible for Jack to forget that first mainland meal he had partaken of, how dry and terrible it had tasted. The first time he had stepped into the university, awed by its vastness and the music that echoed through its winding corridors. The moment he realised that he was never returning home to the isle. Jack sighed, and the memories turned to dust. It was late. He had been travelling for a sennight, and now he was here, defying all logic and ready to make the crossing again. He just needed to find the old sailor. He walked one of the streets, trying to wet his recollection as to where to find the dauntless man who had previously carried him over the water. Cats scattered, and an empty tonic bottle rolled over the mismatched cobbles, seeming to follow him. He finally noticed a door that felt familiar, right on the edge of town. A lantern hung on the porch, casting tepid light over a peeling red door. Yes, there had been a red door, Jack recalled, and a knocker made from brass, shaped like an octopus. This was the fearless sailor's house. Jack had once stood in this very place, and he nearly saw his past self, a scrawny, windswept boy, scowling to hide the tears in his eyes.
"Follow me, lad,"
the sailor had said after docking his boat, leading Jack up the steps to the red door. It was the dead of night and bitterly cold, quite the mainland welcome.
"You'll sleep here, and then come morning you'll take the coach south to the university."
Jack nodded, but he hadn't slept that night. He had laid down on the floor of the sailor's house, wrapped in his plaid, and closed his eyes. All he could think of was the isle. The moon thistles would soon bloom. He hated his mother for sending him away. Somehow, he had grown from that agonizing moment, putting down roots in a foreign place.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?